Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of his glory, praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to put hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Verse 15. For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. And we just come before you. We want to meet with you. We want to hear from you. We want to connect with you, God. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with our study of Ephesians on Tuesdays. And so just want to do a quick recap of what we have looked at so far. So Ephesians, it begins verse 1 through verse 3. If you can follow in your Bible, it's just an introduction. Paul is saying, I am the one that's writing this letter, and I'm writing to the church in Ephesus. And he gives a short greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's introduction. And then from verse 3 all the way to verse 14, these 11 verses, it's just one long praise before God. It's a one long, in the original Greek, it's one long sentence. And it's all praising the Lord. So it begins in verse 3 with, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the NIV it says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it begins with praise, and verse 14 ends with, Praise be to the praise of God's glorious grace. Or to the praise of his glory. So verse 14 ends with praise, verse 3 begins with praise. It's a one long statement of praise to the Lord. So it's like a great worship song, you know, a praise song that talks about all that God has done. And this is why we worship him. I think of songs like, Here I Am to Worship. You know, we sing, Here I Am to Worship, Here I Am to Bow Down, Here I Am to Say That You're My God. But the verses really talk about what God has done, right? Light of the world, he came down into darkness, opened my eyes to see. I can't remember it, just reciting it, I gotta sing it, but You know, it's a lot of worship songs, it'll say, the chorus is like, oh, I worship you, I praise you, you are good. But the verses talk about what God has done, right? And sometimes in our worship songs or praise songs, all we sing is, I praise you, and you are worthy, and God, you are good. And I think that's okay, but it's probably better to have a song that really also goes into the why of our praise. You know, we can say, God, I love you, I praise you, I worship you. But it'll be nice to kind of explain, as Paul does in this passage, why is he praising God? Why are we worshiping the Lord? And he goes into all that God has done, right? It talks about all the works of God. So just do a brief recap. All of the reasons for praising God, basically what God has done. And in verse 3, Paul says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Verse 5, he predestined us to be adopted as sons. Verse 6, 7, and verse 5, it talks about the goodness of God and how God is so gracious. It talks about the riches of his grace in accordance with his pleasure and will. That's what verse 5 says. It talks about the fact that God is good, that his will for us was to do something good for us. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gave us. So it talks about the grace of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God. Verse 7, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. So again, it talks about the goodness of God, the graciousness of God. In verse 7, it talks about there is redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 9 through 10, it's God's end time plan that he wants to make all things right under Christ. Verse 11 through 13 is God's plan of salvation, how he brought salvation to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And verse 14 talks about the Holy Spirit, who is given as a deposit, a guarantee that we will inherit from God. So it's just a... Paul is saying, praise the Lord, and this is why. He has done all these different things, and he is deserving of our praise. He's deserving of our worship, and he ends that with, to the praise of his glory. Okay, so that's how we come to verse 15 through 22, the last part of chapter 1. And verse 15 through 22 is basically Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. So he says, for this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And he goes into discussing or talking about the stuff that he is praying about for the Ephesian church. So the first thing that he prays, or first thing that he mentions as he prays to God is thanksgiving, right? He says, I praise you. I mean, I thank the Lord for who you are. I thank the Lord for what God has done in your life. He thanks God for the work that God has done in the lives of the Ephesian church. And then number two, he prays for, in verse 17, he prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they may know God better. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know God better. And then in the next section, he prays that the eyes of their hearts may be opened, that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened, so that they may see the hope of his calling, they may see the awesome inheritance that is ahead of us, the eternal perspective, and to see the awesome power that is available to us. And he describes a little bit about the power of God. So that's Ephesians chapter 1. In a nutshell. And there's only a few things I want to note from our passage today, which is verse 15 through 22. Okay, things to note. Number one, our spiritual growth is not a work of the flesh. It is not through programs. It is not through speakers or activities or various things. It is a thing of God, right? He prays, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come so that you may know him. Our spiritual growth is not going to happen just by us trying harder. You know, sometimes we think, oh, we just need to have the right program. We bring in different speakers. We have retreat and conferences and prophetic people come. And we think, man, if our people can just experience this or hear from this speaker and go to this conference, then they will grow. But it is not a work of the flesh. You know, I often worry about the youth group. We worry about house church, and we always think, like, how can our people grow? How can these youth grow? And we think in terms of, what can I do? You know, what kind of program can I implement? So I, you know, we have different discipleship classes that I do with the students, you know, and I go with them on a mission trip to the Philippines so they can experience God. And we want to try and do different things in the hope that they will be able to grow spiritually. But it's not going to the right conference or the right classes or having the right speaker or the right worship song or the right prophetic word that will bring about spiritual growth in people. It really, there's only one thing that we do, and it's prayer. Right? Paul says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be given to you, so that you may know him better. And it is a work of God. It is not something that we can do on our own strength to be able to know God better, to be able to grow spiritually. But really, we depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think one thing we can do for the people that we minister to, for the people that we're leading, and for ourselves, maybe for our family, for our children, is prayer. Saying, God, there's nothing that we can do in our own strength to bring about spiritual growth in these people, and then to pray. You know, I am convicted more and more that I need to pray. I need to pray more for the youth group. I think it's so easy. It's human nature, right? We trust in our own strength. And it's so easy for me to think, okay, what kind of programs do I need to do? And look at the calendar year and think, okay, I'm going to do this discipleship program and I'm going to preach about this topic. And it's so easy to get focused on programs. But it's hard to do prayer, because I think there's part of me that doesn't believe maybe in the power of prayer. But I think it's so important that I pray, and God's convicting me to pray. I don't know if I told you, but in London, when I was in HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton, we went to church there, and Tim Hughes was leading worship, and it was fantastic, and we had a prophetic time, and this lady came up, and she saw me right in front when I was kneeling, and she said, you, like it was a prophetic word given to me, and said, you are an intercessor. I see you as an intercessor. And I was like, that's not me. I was like, you're talking about the person next to me, because we're with a friend who's living in London, and she's that intercessor type. So I was like, no. That word must have been for you. Or I was thinking, oh, maybe she's seeing my brother through me and saying he's an intercessor. So I was like, that's not me. But at that time, God had been speaking to me about praying more for my students. So I thought, maybe God's just confirming what he's been kind of speaking to me. But I really don't feel like an intercessor, but I think I need to pray more. And I encourage you, especially for the people that you want to minister to, right? Whether it's your colleagues, your friends, your children, your family, the people that you're discipling, your house church sheep, that first, don't think, you know, let's not think first about programs, lessons, discipleship classes, but prayer. Saying, Holy Spirit, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be given to these guys so that they may know you better. And I pray that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. Right? The eyes of their heart being enlightened is not a work that we can force upon people. I can't force feed the Bible into my students and think, you need to change. It's not something I can do. It's something that only the Holy Spirit can bring about in them to open their eyes to these spiritual realities. That's the first thing. And the second thing, Second thing, I just want to talk a little bit about verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Are the eyes of our hearts, have they been enlightened? Have the eyes of our hearts been enlightened? Do we live in anticipation? Do we live in the hope of the glorious inheritance that is ahead of us? Which really is having an eternal perspective, right? I know that the Christian life can be quite difficult. It's demanding. I mean, at the same time, it is very freeing, right? We experience the love of the Father, and it's freeing, but also it's very demanding. Christ calls us to things that are difficult. He calls us to sacrifice. He calls us to selfless living, to die to ourselves, to love others. But if we can have an eternal perspective of what is coming ahead of us, right? That God has given us an amazing hope, right? The hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his inheritance, his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that we have a glorious inheritance awaiting us in heaven or at the end of the age when the new heaven and new earth gets established here. We have this amazing inheritance in God. So if we have that eternal perspective, in light of all of that, in comparison to the glory of the inheritance and the hope that we have, our little sacrifices here is what, as Paul says, is light and momentary affliction, right? Light and momentary suffering. So do we have that? Have the eyes of our hearts been enlightened to see it? And if not, we need to pray and say, God, I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I can see the hope to which you have called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people. And the third thing is the power. Power. Do we live in accordance with the greatness of God's power that is available to us? Paul says that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. That's resurrection power. Paul is saying resurrection power is available to you and me, to all of us. And yet we live such powerless lives, right? We think, I think, because this is how I think, and I believe this is how many of us think, we think Larry has spiritual power, right? When Larry comes and sits up here, we're like, that's a powerful man. He's powerful. He speaks into people. We think Pastor Sam, that's a powerful man. Cheon, Pastor Benjamin, that's a powerful man. But when we look at ourselves, we think we don't have that kind of power. But God, that power is the same power. They don't operate in another power. They operate in the same power that all of us have, which is resurrection power, the power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms next to God the Father. And so we need to live in understanding, in accordance with the power that God has given to us. I know when, long time ago, many years ago, when Charles Kraft was here, he talked about the authority that we have in God. He's written a book, right? I think it's called I Give You Authority. And it talks about the authority that we have, spiritual authority that we have, just as children of God, right? And how much power we have over spiritual realms. But you know, when Paul is talking here, he's not just talking about spiritual power, because he's talking to the Ephesians at the time. Ephesus apparently was a very powerful city. There was a business center, a commercial center. There were, there's the Roman ruler, the governor, and also it was a place of religious power. There, you know, in Acts we see the Artemis, right? And people of Ephesus kind of getting really mad at Paul I don't know who else is with Paul, but Paul as he's preaching the gospel, and they get mad at him because they're like, you know, he's bringing a different gospel. So there was a lot of like magic power and spiritual power as well as government power in Ephesus. And when Paul is telling them that Christ has made all things under his, you know, God has placed all things under the feet of Jesus Christ, and that Christ is seated above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. He's not just talking about spiritual things. He's also talking about earthly power, which is very interesting. He's saying in the face of of Rome, right? And the great power that Rome had, and the Roman emperor, the Caesar, Paul is saying Christ is even higher than that. So, you know, we live in obedience to Christ, not to an earthly ruler. And he's just reminding people, not just spiritual power, but earthly power as well. So I just, the way I translate it is, if we are in a workplace, I mean, who controls your destiny? Who controls your future? Is it your boss or is it God? Right? Who do you come in submission to? Is it God or is it your earthly boss? And let me suggest to you that God has greater power than your company, right? Than your earthly boss. That's the only kind of connection I was able to make. But I'm sure if we meditated upon it longer, we would make more connections of, like, who has power in our lives, and God has more. Christ is above every rule and authority, power and dominion. And let's not just think of spiritual things, but just physical realm, earthly realm. Who do we give power to? And God has greater power than that. So if we had more time, we can think more about it. But I encourage you just to meditate upon this passage throughout the day and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through this. Let's go before God in a song of worship. Andrew's going to come and lead us. First, let's just pray. Let's just pray and say, God, I need the Spirit to work in me. You know, I pray that you will give us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know Christ better, so that I may know God better. Don't we all want to know God better? Don't we all want to grow spiritually? And yet it's not something we can do in our own strength. It is something that God can do, right? Only God can do that. And let's pray, God, open the eyes of my heart, God. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I may know these things, the hope to which you have called us, the glory of your inheritance, and the incomparably great power that you have for us. And then let's pray that we will be able to live in power, live in accordance with the power God has given to us. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you for just the book of Ephesians that remind us of the spiritual reality that we're living in. God, we don't always see. We don't always feel like we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We don't always feel like we have been predestined for adoption to sonship. We don't always feel like we have been redeemed or that you have poured out your grace. Or that we have amazing power, incomparably great power, and that we have an inheritance in you. But I thank you, God, that this book reminds us, God, of these truths, God. These things that have happened already, God, in our hearts, in our spirit, in our lives. It's a spiritual reality, and I pray that you will help us to live in them, God. I pray that you may give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. And that you... that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may know the hope to which you have called us, God, and the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and that we will know the incomparably great power that you have for us who believe, God, the resurrection power, and help us to live in resurrection power. Help us to live in victory, God. So I thank you for your word, God. We are so dependent on your word, God. And I pray just as we come before you, as we spend time with you, that you would just give us a word from heaven, God, a word from God, Lord, to strengthen us, God, and to keep us going, God, and to so that we may persevere, God, and we may walk with you. So thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends going through difficult times. Let's pray for their family members, and let's pray that God will do a miracle. So let's pray for those going through cancer and chemo radiation therapy. Let's pray together. Let's pray for those that are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's stand in the gap. Let's stand with our friends as they pray and minister to their family members. So let's pray together. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for just our friends, church members, and their various infirmities. Let's pray for healing to come. Let's pray for the power of God to be released. Let's pray together. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's just pray for God's blessing and breakthrough for our friends. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for justice to flow in this city. And maybe it needs to start with the churches. So let's pray for the churches. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray for all the different ministries that's serving God here in this city that we are connected to. Let's pray for God's blessing and covering and God's leading over all these different ministries. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for P. Sam as he is resting in the States. Let's pray for his family and just for protection over them and for them to be very rested and filled with God's peace as they come back in about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks. Pray for the rest of the staff. Pray for us that we will be able to work hard and work well together. And if you can pray for imagination. What I mean is just pray for faith, you know, that we would have just faith and hope in our hearts, that we can have just creativity and imagination as we think about all the different things that we're trying to achieve, that we won't be stuck in our own just mind and in our own limited understanding, but that God would release His creativity and His imagination so that we can think of new things and just think beyond our own strength as we try to tackle whatever issues we're trying to tackle as a church. So pray for the staff, please, and thank you for your prayers. And let's pray together. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, and the media team. Pray for a heart of worship, heart of excellence, and attention to detail. And let's just pray that the times of worship, one, that it'll be so pleasing to God. Let's pray that the worship team members will be able to lead the church into a worship that is pleasing to God, true and proper worship of offering ourselves to the Lord. Let's also pray that during the times of worship that people will encounter God in such a powerful way. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, the media team.
God, lift up the worship team. First of all, let the worship team members have a heart of worship, God, and devotion to you, God, a longing to serve you and give themselves to you, God. That everything that they do, God, on Sunday, Lord, will be an extension of what they do during the week, Lord. And we will worship you with everything that we've got, Lord. Give us a heart of excellence, God, and a desire, God, to do excellently, God, and attention to detail. We pray that you release your power over our church, God. And during the times of worship, people will connect with you, Lord. They'll give themselves to you, God.
And let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team, our creative team, our arts team, that God would give them new ideas. Pray for the spread ministry as they come, you know, work on the newspaper together and whatever else they can do, maybe whether it's drawing a mural or, you know, just creative ways to express the work of God. Let's pray that God will use our arts team to bless the body and help people encounter God in a different way. So let's just pray for our arts team. Thank you, God. We thank you so much for this day and for your word, and we give ourselves to you. I pray your blessing over every single person, God. Whatever they do, wherever they go, let your presence be with them. And you are so gracious to us. You're so merciful. So we humble ourselves and we humbly ask for your blessing, your protection, your presence with us today. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.